California Representative Maxine Waters became an internet sensation when she proclaimed, "I'm reclaiming my time," to Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. Folks love seeing Representative Maxine stand up to the hogwash coming from a Republican trumpensee who was trying to waste her time, and she flipped it by naming it and reclaiming it.
And now, drag queen Cherry Chan has a hit on her well-manicured hands, where she duck walks, fake death drops, and pulls dried herbs out of her spice rack in her lip-sync video to Adam Joseph's club remix of Reclaiming My Time.
Today, Auntie Cherry joins us to talk about her amazing video, growing up as the child of Cambodian refugees, and how her improv training inspired her drag.
Plus, how many miles of dick have you taken? Take our quiz and find out.
Aaron Carter comes out as bi, to nobody's surprise.
Despacito becomes the most viewed video on YouTube.
And Caitlyn Jenner is still irrelevant. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Right now, you have Feast of Fun in your ears because for the last 13 years, a listener just like you took the time to support this one-of-a-kind, in-depth programming. If you like the show, please make a donation at feastoffun.com/donate. And if you didn't like the show, make a donation anyway to help us improve.
We love our food-based drag queens here at Feast of Fun. Peaches Christ, Kim Chi, Ginger Minge, Milk, Marshmallow, Mayonnaise, Honey Dijon, Saucy Bernaise, Rhoda Kill, and now we have a cherry to pop. Cherry Chan, whose video as Congresswoman Maxine Waters, I'm reclaiming my time, is reclaiming our attention and our hearts. Welcome to Feast of Fun.
Hello.
Cherry Chan, get tidy up to the
microphone. Let me get it.
Scoot up to the microphone, baby.
Sometimes I forget how I sound like.
Reclaim your time at that microphone.
Oh, hello, time. I'm here to reclaim it.
For people who are not familiar, who is Maxine Waters?
Maxine Waters, I even read her Twitter bio today just to make sure that we were crystal clear. She is the Congresswoman of the 43rd District of California. Right?
That's not too exciting.
Well, she's an African-American woman. She's been serving for 25 years in Congress. And right now she's becoming very popular because she's one of Trump's most vocal opponents. And she doesn't like Trump and she wants to impeach him. And she doesn't like the people surrounding him, all the senators and congressmen, who have also received an incredible amount of money from Russian oligarchs. And she calls them the Kremlin Klan.
And so most Americans, as they've watched in horror as Republicans apologize and suddenly declared, you know what? Russia's our best friend all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And Trump is just destroying the presidency and this country. And we're just going, when is this man going to be impeached? Mm-hmm. When is it enough? And so Maxine Waters is getting everybody's hearts and attention because she's the one who's being the most vocal, speaking out against the Trump presidency. And so then she was speaking to...
She was speaking to the Treasury Secretary, Stephen... I don't know how to say his last name, Mnuchin. It was spelled with an M, but I think it's Mnuchin. And so she was questioning him during a hearing, asking, why have I and my colleagues not received a response from this letter that was written to you on May 23rd? And so then he starts blowing like all the smoke up her ass, and she's just like, hold on a second, I'm reclaiming my time here. And he looks kind of confused. He's like thinking, like, what the hell's going on here? Why does she keep saying reclaiming my time? And he says to the chairperson, he's like, I thought when I got up here, I'd be able to say, you know, what I had to say and I wouldn't be interrupted. And he says, well, the chairperson basically says, well, that is the intent, but that is not necessarily how you will be treated. But like when your fellow Republicans get up there, you'll get a chance to say whatever you want. And she points out, she's like, this is a procedure here. It's like, you are on my time. Mm-hmm. And if you are using it to, you know, to stonewall me, to blow smoke up my ass and not answer my questions, I'm reclaiming my time. Mm-hmm. So every time he veered off script, she goes, reclaiming my time, reclaiming my time. And I watched most of it. And she just like she says it over and over again. And so people are really, they're seeing this strong, confident woman not get pushed around by this guy who is just trying to blow smoke up her ass. And she's just like, no, I'm taking the power in this situation.
Mm-hmm. When you're on my time, I can reclaim it. Da, 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 da. Yeah, he was like filibustering his answer. Mm-hmm. They only get a certain amount of time to respond. And just putting in all those formalities just takes so much time away from getting the information that she wants. Mm-hmm. It's so like annoying to deal with.
And she's smart enough. She's been around. She's seen it. And she just wants answers to these questions. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm going to get it.
She's a strong black mm-hmm. woman, and she don't take shit mm-hmm. from nobody.
She is that auntie.
Well, I think, you know, the LA Times said it best. They said it's an example of taking your power back from someone attempting to minimize it, an occurrence all too common for marginalized populations. So it was a big way to say, hey, listen, fuck you to the man. I'm in charge right now.
And so, Cherry Chan, you were looking for a performance to do. You were looking for something to inspire. You were inspired by her.
Mm-hmm. I really felt moved by this when I watched it. I was just really moved to tears, and I thought, we need to create art. And that's what we did. I searched up that day if there was a remix to it. Like, I typed into the computer, like, is the remix to Reclaiming My Time. And then I saw that 3 hours ago, Adam Joseph from Hey Queen TV posted the remix. And I listened to it, and I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. So I messaged him on Facebook, hey, could I use your music? And could I create a video out of it just for funsies? I'll give you credit for it. He messaged back, sure, go ahead. And then I did it that night. I threw on some shaggy wig I had. I had these auntie necklaces I bought when I first like got into drag. Threw them on. Bought these pearls from like this Chinese store off Wilson, and reclaimed my time.
So did you make the video, the drag performance straight for the video? You didn't do it in a club first?
Yeah, I did it straight for video first. I was just running around my apartment sweating, thinking, what can I do? Oh, I can do this clack, 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 move, duck, walk thing, fake death drop and such. And
reach into the spice cabinet and pulled out actual thyme seasoning.
That day during
the herb
during that, during my work break that day, I said, could I just go to Julasco? And I came back with a little bottle of thyme.
Because I was wondering, like, away. I bet that queen did not have thyme in her cabinet.
No one has thyme in their cabinet.
We do.
Okay, well, I guess.
It's really good with eggs.
It's really good with eggs?
Yeah, it's good with eggs and potatoes, yeah.
I should start using it. Now yeah. It's like part of the brand. I will do a thyme look.
So you posted this on Facebook. And Adam Joseph, he's the one who composed Hey Queen, come on, it's Bill D.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's actually him singing.
Is it?
Oh, falsetto, maybe.
Yeah. He also did Linda Evangelista featuring Aja. So you're so beautiful, you're a model, that thing.
You're beautiful, you're a model. You look like Linda Evangelista.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yes.
And so he's, you know, rising. He's basically Lucian Piani without the mental illness.
Exactly.
Not yet.
And the racist visible. Rants. It can still happen.
It's never too late for anybody. But and so he reached out to you and said, I'm going to make this the official video.
Yeah, I was really like, okay, we'll do that. And he said, we'll get it as much exposure as we can. And I was on board for that. And then it got a lot of like features. And then it was like featured in like a RuPaul Drag Race like fan page that had a lot of followers. It was shared by a lot of queens in the city that had like a huge following. Tranica Rex reached out. She was like, if you should put that on Twitter, because I would retweet that. And I was like, okay, thanks, girl. Thank you, stepdad. And my friend Lo Tion, she asked me if I could just give her that file because she's going to share it on Tumblr. And I think right now it has over like 35,000 notes on Tumblr. Mm. So it's been shared and liked over 35,000 times.
The last time I saw on Facebook, it was like 150,000 shares.
Yeah. I think it broke 200,000 this morning, too. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
But it's not about being a size queen.
No, okay.
It's the quality that matters.
Okay, but I'm like a statistical auntie. I like to see the facts.
You want the receipts, the timestamps,
the shares, the likes, the views. views. I need the digits.
And it's really quite a lovely video. And it sort of showcases your comedic talents.
Thank you. You're
somebody who has training in improv comedy.
Yeah, I am a student at Columbia College Chicago. I currently am pursuing a comedy writing and performance degree. Shout out to Ann Libera. She's the creator of the comedy studies program. She's the only reason why I moved to Chicago, because Columbia is the only school, or the first school, and then someone copied us, to develop a comedy bachelor's of arts in writing and performance. And the program is you get some training theatrically, you know your theater shit, and then for a semester you'll go to Second City up in Old Town, and then you'll do training that they provide for all of the actors there through one semester, and then you'll just like learn all the skills to be like a good performer, writer.
So you do plays like, okay, kids, today you're going to learn how to fake duck walk, do a death drop.
Yes. Well, there are actually classes like, this is how you can comedically fall safely. And we would learn how to trip. Yeah.
Yeah. Mark can teach you how to death drop.
I'll teach you after the.
Please do.
What is the secret to death dropping? Is just not dying?
It's not dying. It's not breaking your leg. Is the idea.
Or hips.
Or not like hitting your head. No, you have to use your arm to brace yourself. So it's basically they call it a dip. Like true voguers from back in the day, they don't like being called a death drop. They're like, it's a dip.
It's
bitch.
A dip, man.
And just to clarify, RuPaul is 6 years older than Mark Felian. Only 6 years older. Just to clarify.
I'm so glad we cleared the folk.
Everybody needed to know that.
Well, I just want to say how extraordinary is that, you know, I'm sitting here with two fierce queens in their different ways, but two very different generations of drag.
Reaches out.
Yeah.
But you're an auntie.
Touches many.
You know, what's up with you? Because people call you Cherry Chan, and they also call you Auntie Chan.
Yeah. So primarily it's Auntie Chan, but I had like Auntie Cherry Chan just because I couldn't get the right social media accounts, and I've been bugging this girl. Can I just buy it off of you? And she would just be
she
very
was Auntie Chan.
Her like profile, she was just like some regular girl in like America with just like an account. She's just like, oh, she was not like any persona or anything. She just had the account, and I thought that Cherry was cute because the drag persona is inspired by my mother, whose birth name is Nary Chan, and I just thought it'd be so fitting to give a matriarch tribute to her, because when she moved to the United States, she had to take on a more westernized name for the sake of getting hired in these white times, and and it worked out.
Explain to the audience your family are your Cambodian immigrants.
Yes, my parents they are refugees. They're Cambodian refugees. They moved over from Cambodia during the Khmer Rouge, which was that genocide that killed like a huge percent of the population. They got out of there,
and that's also the name of your new makeup line.
It is. It's inspired by the tragedies, because if it's anything with comedy, it's tragedy plus time.
Yeah. Too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon, Cherry Chan.
So what kind of name did your mom take? Is it westernized?
She took Jasmine, and my dad, his was Seren. He took James. Okay. Jasmine and James.
I thought you were named after Charlie Chan, the TV detective.
You know, I was hoping that or Jackie Chan.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been cute.
But you're Jamie Chan.
But I'm Jamie. I'm Jamie Munn.
Oh, Jamie.
Yeah, or I guess if you want to mix my dragon boy, because at one point the lines do get blurred.
And so the auntie persona, because you usually, so are you used to playing like a middle-aged woman? Is that the idea?
In these improv scenes, I will just catch myself starting it at the top, just throwing some shirts into the laundry and screaming, kids, what do y'all want for dinner? Let me know. And I'm just like, why am I taking on this, like, this single mom persona? Why am I like taking this on? It's just because I'm constantly inspired by like you know, really powerful women in my life, and that's kind of like what got me into drag too. Like
but it's also your experience in coming from Texas.
Yes.
Right. And it's like, and you're from Houston, and it's, you know, Texas is the land of Ann Richards, and everyone thinks that Ann Richards is an anomaly. And no, most Texas women are strong, fierce, and hilarious.
Yes, and a lot of them are ethnic. Like, a lot of the women that I grew up with, they were just very strong ethnic women. I just, like, pulled from that and let it inspire my art.
Yeah, and that certainly, I see that sensibility channeling in. Channeling.
Oh, my God. Tranica made a Facebook status today. She was like, if you have a fan base, a proposal to call it the Channy Chasers.
Your career ready to go on Drag Race already. You have your makeup line. Yes. You have your fan name for your fans. Yes. You have your catchphrases.
We have the people making quilts.
You already have even what you're... Who the person you'll do on Snatch Game.
Yes.
Maxine Waters.
Miss, yeah. Maxine Waters. I think at this point I will have to do Maxine Waters. I
know she might run for president.
She, yeah, well.
The millennials wanted to run.
They do. They want her and Sanders. They're like Sanders and.
Because that'll beat Trump.
Yeah, that'll be enough.
Have you put your audition video for Cooking with Drag Queens together?
You pulled time out of the camera.
You know, I pulled some recipes out. I pulled a little bit of seasoning.
Will you do it? Because you're going to dress up as Maxine Waters again, right?
Oh, my gosh. And I will, like, make spring rolls or something real cute. Something ethnic.
Will you make a audition video? Just basically, it's like a testimonial video for Cooking with Drag Queens.
Yes, that would be so funny if I just had to do a lip sync, too. It's just like, because yeah. I know for, like, the RuPaul audition, you have to submit a RuPaul lip sync. So if there's like a Feast of Fun song, you want us to do the theme song or something.
She's my cherry pie.
Yeah. There you go. Perfect.
We were at Sidetrack and
with Dixieland Cartwright. Yes.
But the other drag queen from
Nicole Page Brooks was sitting
from
in the
Atlanta,
audience.
Atlanta, Georgia.
NFPFAG.
Dixie introduced her and she goes, I want to come do Cooking with Drag Queens. And Fausto says to her,
you can send in your audition.
Oh. And Dixie Lynn Cartwright was just like mortified. And she's just like, and we talked to her about it. She's like, oh my God, I was so mortified because I really thought Nicole Page Brooks was a really big deal when you said that. And then I discovered she wasn't.
Oh,
I don't care anymore.
Actually, you know, Nicole Page Brooks did send an audition video did come on Cooking with Drag Queens. It was fun. And she was delicious.
Yeah, I absolutely adore her.
And she got me stoned, too.
Oh, my gosh. She's such a treat. She's so funny.
I was so high. Not during the making of the video, but I was just like, girl, I don't know if I can keep my eyes open. It is intense.
Are you a sleepy smoker?
I am.
Yeah.
I get sleepy and horny.
And hungry.
And then she's giving us these blueberries and she's just popping them into her mouth.
Drug berries.
Mm. What's you're a big fan of egg rolls?
I love
what's Cambodian food?
Oh,
like?
Cambodian food. It's kind of like Thai food, but a little spicier. Bit more salt too.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of like fish that's with the cuisine too. Mm. Like a lot since. Since like the culture of it was, they were so enriched with food before the Khmer Rouge, before Nixon did his whole carpet bombing and destroyed agriculture. They were like so enriched with everything. And then as soon as, you know, that happened, they had to like turn their resources to fish. And now there's a lot of like fish in the cuisine.
So pretty much salty, spicy and fishy describes your drag too.
Look, yes.
So you're saying that they didn't have as much fish in their diet before the bombings?
I would like to assume that. I don't know if that's like statistically the truth, but I've had family that went over to Cambodia and they're like, these like on land mammals don't have like enough meat on their bones. Mm. So it's just a whole lot easier to fish and fry and eat.
Before we move on, did you or have you performed I'm Reclaiming My Time in clubs yet? Or?
Yeah, I performed it last night. I did a mix with Madonna's Hung Up because she says, like, time goes by so slowly. Oh. And then I was doing the whole body clock thing between the transitions. And then I mixed it with, what was my other time song? I'm blanking out on it right now.
So you guys just like Google the word time and
then like said, okay, what song has the word time in it? Okay. Oh, Oh, I can mix it there. Oh, I did time 4 minutes. Time after time would be cute. Mm-hmm. I'm going to constantly time. Only do time related
song
things.
Less than zero. Da-da-da. Time.
Yes.
See how the world.
Oh, that is a good song.
What is that song?
That was a very 80s song.
What is that song exactly?
Less than zero, right?
Less than zero, yeah. But
the theme song, I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I just think about cocaine.
It was from the 80s?
People going I imagine people went crazy when you were doing the I'm Reclaiming My Time.
They did.
They all had seen it.
They had a lot of fun. They were like, oh, okay. Okay, mm-hmm. She thinks she's viral now. Okay, we'll give her some money.
Did they give you the dollars?
They gave me the coin. I was swimming in the money. It felt real good. It felt real sweet. And when it was doing the transition, I saw the expression on some of their faces. They were like, what is all this time? Is she going to... Oh, she's doing it. We're in it now.
Oh, it's the song is Hazy Shade of Winter by the Bangles. So you could work if you do it again.
That happened before you were even born.
Okay,
just so you know.
I'll give a tribute if I like go to like sidetrack. Yeah,
it's when cocaine was glamorous.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
In the '80s.
Is it still not?
Well, I guess it is.
I think now we know like the human toll that cocaine takes on people and the people that work in the trade and stuff. So I don't think it's as glamorous. But in the 80s, cocaine was very glamorous.
But if you go on like YouTube and you watch videos of people making cocaine and the guy's like, I got a normal hand. And then he pulls up his left hand and it's like a turkey claw. It's like color and it's dried up because he reaches into the gasoline to pull up all the crap to make the cocaine.
Oh,
it's horrific.
And it's horrific. And his hands all imagine if every day you stick your left hand into a tub of gasoline.
Jesus.
Yeah. So when you're snorting cocaine, you're basically snorting some poor Colombian man's gasoline covered hand.
Oh my God.
And they use like concrete and all this other shit. It's like people like I've actually heard this from some drag queens and you listeners can figure out who it is. It's like, I really like to do cocaine because cocaine's organic and meth is a chemical.
The organic. I'm all about nature.
If it grew on a plant, you know.
Well, it comes from a plant. I wouldn't necessarily say it's organic.
and I'm like, yeah, turkey claw hand. You took a long nap today before coming to do the podcast.
I did. I went to sleep at like 5 a.m. last night.
You had a
night,
power so nap.
I had a really long power nap and woke up a little like deep voicey and my Lyft driver was like, yeah, mask. Yeah, dude.
Because I'm always expecting like the queens to be like, hi girl, what's going on? You know, and then I met you and you're like, hey bro, what's up?
Yeah. I feel like I'm a little, I'm very kind of mask. Like when I came out to like my friends, they were shocked. They were like, oh, I mean, I wouldn't put it past you, but we didn't. I mean, it's not like you're visibly gay. And I was like, well, what does that mean? And then that's another conversation for another day. But yeah.
Well, you got my attention is this whole miles of penis you've sat on. thing.
Oh, mileage of penis.
So this is the thing. Yeah. Our good friend Robin Panakia, she wrote about this on Wonkette. And so there's these guys, they always want to slut shame their girlfriends or their ex-girlfriends, right? And so one guy was like slut shaming his girlfriend. So this other guy chimed in, and I guess it was he tried to pass it off as his own thing, but it was, I guess it's been around for a while. It came out of 4chan. So I'll read it to you. And you guys pull out your pens, do your math.
Okay.
Here, so get your math. So we're going to see.
Okay, let me get
what you do.
Here.
Give him
it's
a pen
pronounced
over there.
Math.
Your math? Math, math, or myth? And so, my drunk-ass girlfriend said she had sex with over 200 guys. She said she was a real slut back in college. Made me stop and think. So, 4 years of college times 365 days a year equals 200 guys equals a new guy every 7.3 days. Since she said 200, well, rounded off to a new guy every 7 days.
Oh, my God.
Given that she had sex with a guy on average of 3 times and an average dick length of 5.5 inches and about 100 thrusts to come, we're looking at.
Oh.
So this is your math. So 100 thrusts.
He's done the math already.
Times 3 times per guy times 11 inches, because that's 5 inches going in and 5 inches going out.
That's 10, right?
Yeah. It equals. So this is what he does. So it's 100 thrusts times 3 times a day times 11 inches equals 3,300 inches of dick per week. And then that's times for 4 years. That equals out to 10.5 miles of dick. And so he goes, I got in my car and drove 10.45 miles and thought about dicks being laid end to end. That's how much dick she has taken. She isn't my girlfriend anymore.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I would say that, you know, some of our listeners and guests of the show have had a lot of dick, but if you lined all the dicks back to back, you'd go to the moon and to Earth eight times.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
so that's a lot. So, I mean, it's not uncommon for a gay man of our age, you know, to have sex with between 500 and 1,000 men, right?
I would, yeah.
The regrettable pause.
Lots of dicks.
Well, she better get her mileage in, because I heard that if you get enough mileage and you can get a free trip on American Airlines. So that's good.
You wouldn't want it on United.
You can get upgraded to first class, but if you get on United, honey, it's just going to leave you back in blue.
Yeah, they'll rip you off. Maybe Spirit Airlines. You'll just be crammed up.
Mark, what was that joke that you made on the show the other day about somebody that your nickname because he tore you up?
Oh, I'm not telling you that one. I got to save that one. That's part of it.
Oh, that's part of it.
I didn't say it on the show.
Okay. You didn't?
No, I said it to you privately on the beach.
Okay. Well, we're on air. We're live now.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't want to spoil your new material.
Yeah, sorry. Save that.
You don't want to workshop it?
No. Because if I workshop it, it'll be on Twitter the next day.
So I see.
They will reclaim it as their own.
Okay.
It is funny, like a lot of the stuff that's on this podcast somehow makes it onto like social media. You're like, hey, wait a second. The most amazing moment was our last Kickstarter for Cooking with Drag Queens began with, a drag queen is anyone who transforms themselves into a beautiful creature of their own imagination. Mm. And then RuPaul for DragCon was like, all right, you beautiful creatures transform yourselves. I'm sorry. All right, you beautiful children who transform yourselves into creatures of your own imagination. We want to just thank you for coming to DragCon. And I was like, Rude.
Well,
if you're gonna take something, you take something nice and positive, you know.
Well, I said it's like, if people are gonna steal, then put out the best.
Yeah,
you know.
In my opinion, drag is the art form of stealing. Like it's like regurgitating. Like even like when you're getting into drag, you're stealing someone else's like identity. You're just regurgitating it. And a lot of my feelings about like pop culture have been like, oh god, it's just all the same. But like when you think about it, drag is really just a regurgitation of pop culture, history, figures.
There's some new and imaginative stuff that gets thrown in there too. And then some drag queens, they have like one shtick and they just work it to the end of time. Now Bob the drag queen, you know, the whole purse first thing. First it's a song and then it's this. Now it's a game show.
Oh.
Like, girl, come up with something new.
Entrepreneur.
what is the game show exactly entail?
I don't know. She has people guess like what the answer is to some person, and like if you get it right, you get $10 out of a purse. It's a man on the street kind of thing.
World of Wonder, or
yeah, sounds like
I don't think it is on World of Wonder.
Oh, okay,
I think it's something she's done on her own.
Sounds like it could be though.
It sounds like it could be.
It's like
maybe
we call it green screen TV.
No, she's out on the street. It's a drag queen on the street.
I like
that. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, because I think last time they did one thing where we're doing like makeovers on sex workers, and they got into trouble for that
because they were called hooker makeovers.
Hooker makeover. Yeah.
Come on, get with the term.
I was like, only sex workers can use that term on each other.
They could be like, you better sex work or something like that. Like, be super politically clear and progressive.
I wonder if RuPaul has ever said that to
you better to sex
T.S.
work.
Madison, you better sex work.
Oh, we'll see it
she
tomorrow.
She will. You'll see it. Okay. You'll see it, of course.
Hi, RuPaul.
We're all Puerto Ricans today. The video for Despacito. Which I don't even need to explain what it is. 3 billion views, surpassing Gangnam Style.
Whoop Down Gangnam Style. And also, it passed out with Wiz Khalifa's song, too, from Fast and the Furious, the See You Again. So that just beat Gangnam Style this past month. And so Despacito just beat that, but that only did it in like 7 months. And it took like, you know, 2012, or it was Gangnam Style.
Yeah. So Luis Fonsi
and See You Again was 2015.
Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee. who are the Yankee. Guys behind that. Louis Fonsi is the guy with the guns, and Daddy Yankee is the guy who raps in the...
But the show, it didn't get famous until Justin Bieber sang it, though, right?
It was doing quite well.
Oh, I don't think it was.
People are saying about 30% boost. Yeah, actually, they 30%. They were able to calculate it.
Oh, really?
And I guess Justin Bieber is in touring, you know, in a concert, and people are like, hey, Justin, do the Despacito, Despacito, and can't do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And sang it phonetically?
I think so. Like ABBA with Spanish or English or any language other than Norwegian?
Swedish.
And so just they were throwing water bottles at him.
Oh, really?
So I went on YouTube and I searched like, you know, water bottle Despacito. And I found this amazing group of guys called the Bottle Boys who are doing a cover of Despacito by blowing into a bunch of water bottles. And it's quite, and they're, believe me, honey, they're from Abbaland, from Norway or Sweden.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Volvos. And
that's art.
Just say, you know what, to save yourself, just say Scandinavia. Because that way you have like all of like Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark. You can't go wrong.
Andreas Larsas, honey. That's one of our sexiest listeners. He lives over there.
Well, if you are to generalize a group of people, just generalize that area, I'm sure the listeners are like, okay, I guess I am Scandinavian.
I'm a little scared about going to any part of Scandinavia because I might not come back. I mean, the men there are just, you know, big dicks and nice smiles.
They aren't all gorgeous. Yeah.
Well, the ones I see on social media. You know,
they're all porn stars, aren't they?
The Bottle Boys. Have you seen these Bottle Boys?
I have not.
They're like giving blowjobs basically to these bottles, and they're doing the Despacito song. And Despacito, for people who don't realize, it's a pussy begging song. It's like, baby, let me have sex with you. Come on, you know, I'll go real slowly, I promise. And then I wanna smash that cooch.
Oh my lord, you're right. I saw this video on Facebook. It was like the caption was when you're trying to leave the United States away from Despacito, and it was like a tourist in China and all these street performers playing like instruments were like playing to the tune of Despacito. I was like, it has hit the world. Everyone around the world. It's just like when Gangnam Style was out, like everyone around the world was doing their own instrumental rendition of it.
In the song in Despacito, in the middle of it, the guy says he wants to graffiti the walls of your labyrinth. Which, if you think about that,
the movie?
Graffitiing is a euphemism for spraying his sperm on the girl's inner vaginal walls.
I smell a Grammy. That sounds good.
We're all Puerto Ricans, baby. So it's currently the most watched video on the internet of all time.
Amazing.
And Puerto Rico needs the attention, honey, and the money. And certainly Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee, they live in San Juan.
Oh.
They'll be paying taxes this year. And Puerto Rico could use the income.
Well, the song was also partly written by a female Colombian writer, so
it's a feminist anthem.
She'll be taking some of that money herself. Yeah. I guess they had had to struggle because they wanted to make the song sexy but not too graphic. So I think that graffiti spraying is one of those things.
For people who are not familiar, Daddy Yankee's first hit is Gasolina.
Yes,
a mí me gusta la gasolina.
Dale más gasolina. Oh, that was big.
It's basically like
reggaeton.
It's the one of the first reggaeton, if not the first reggaeton hit that codified the new sort of hip hop reggae style in Puerto Rico and destroying the eardrums of many people on the island. And the song's basically like, hey baby, don't go slow, go faster, you know. So Daddy Yankee's career started with go fast, and now it's go slow.
Oh god, you had that joke ready to go.
I'm just observing this right now as we're talking. Yeah.
When it's getting older, you slow down as you get older, right? You take things a little.
I like it, you know. I like it when a guy kisses me nice and slowly. You know, I like a man with a slow.
They're just passing out. They're just like falling asleep.
That's a good thing too. A good nap, baby, goes a long way. You had one today.
I did have a really good nap, and I'll go for another one later tonight.
I'm a big, you know, Latin Americans with PRPT, right? It's Puerto Rican time.
Yeah.
Instead of what is it? You know, we have a reputation for like taking our time,
being late.
Yeah, and part of it is just like, we just, you know, we're chill.
Relax.
We go despacito, honey. No, apresucito or rapidito.
Andale.
Rapidito means
andale,
fast.
Yeah.
So Aaron Carter came out of the closet. Finally, there had been rumors of him being gay, especially since like the only gigs he ever got were playing like street fairs at gay fests. He updated his Twitter and said, "This doesn't bring me shame, just a weight and a burden I've held on for a long time. It would like lifted off me. I grew up in this entertainment industry at a very young age, and when I was around 13 years old, I started to find boys and girls attractive. There were years that went by that I thought about it, but it wasn't until I was 17 years old, after a few relationships with girls, I had an experience with a male that I had an attraction to, who I also worked with and grew up with."
Is he talking about Michael Jackson?
I don't know. Well, he grew up with him, so probably was he was the brother of somebody in a boy band, yes, right?
Aaron Carter and Michael Jackson used to hang out with
each other. Oh, really?
Yes.
Oy.
Oh, Neverland Ranch. Hello.
Yeah, baby. Say hello to Muscles, his boa constrictor.
Hello.
Well, he didn't say that. He also said, "I never felt as though I didn't belong. I just acted as though I did." He repeated those words from Boy George. So I guess he felt like a little bit of an outsider. Now, the people have been saying that he struggled with addiction or meth and stuff. Because there was like some pictures floating around the internet a few years ago where he was like, looked really wasted. And then, of course, also, too, he was like, he was supporting Donald Trump for a little bit. But then quickly backtracked off of that.
Yeah, the faces of meth have photos of Aaron Carter not looking too good. So
I hope it got better. I hope he's doing better.
I think coming out of the closet might help him a lot. Yeah, it's probably going to get him a lot of good dick, right?
There you go.
When you're in the closet, it's hard to find good dick because you have to kind of hide it sometimes. Mm-hmm. But when you're out there and you're like, "Hey, I'm available," good dick
and I'm
comes
Aaron
to
Carter.
You.
Yeah.
You know? So
I think it's just hard when you're like this teen bop sensation and you're just kind of like already look pretty gay to begin with, you know?
Yeah.
If you actually are gay, it kind of like it's this weird meta existence, you know?
I remember watching Lizzie McGuire and the episode where it was like the holiday special. Lizzie McGuire, for you folks, is a Disney Channel show. And there was this float that he was on, and he like came out and he kissed Lizzie McGuire. And I was like, oh, if I was under that mistletoe, I would kiss Aaron Carter too, because I thought he was so cute. And then later on, when I found out who Aaron Carter was, I was like, oh my God, yeah, that was that guy.
I wouldn't mind going to his house party, you know, where his parents had to be called at the end of the video. That looks like a fun video. Of course, I was, you know, 20 years older than all the children.
I think back then it was like the I Want Candy song that was really popping, and then you're like, oh, he did meth. Oh, he did really want that candy, huh?
That's right. The domain gay.com has been donated to the Los Angeles LGBT Center. Is estimated to be worth $7 million, girl.
Ooh.
If it was worth so much, they
sold it and then
give them the money. I just don't think there's value in it anymore, because it's been like gay.com was a big deal like in the 90s. I know a lot of people that met like their husbands and partners through gay.com, but then it just
my friend Jason met his husband there.
It slowly just kind of faded over time and it just became kind of irrelevant because people were going on to like, you know, Manhunt. And then, of course, I think it was even dead before the apps really hit, like Scruff and Grindr.
Girl, it was so dead. It was boring. I mean, it's like, I don't know.
Do you want to work?
Ready to hear something.
Girl, it was so dead.
I hear a girl comma, I'm ready to hear a punchline.
Yeah. Insert like, joke here.
Lady Bunny, I need a joke. Hurry. This is me getting AIDS. This is me on a vacation. I don't have a joke here. I just thought, you know,
it was done
before it got started. But I remember,
it was not done before it got started. They actually made a fuck ton of money because people, you can get into a chat room, but if you wanted to be in other chat rooms or something like that, if you wanted to do something, you had to pay. So it was one of those first gay hookup sites that you paid from. So they did make money at one point in time.
I do remember us having a phone conversation. I guess we can talk about this now because it's defunct, where gay.com was looking to make Feast of Fools, us back in the day, their official LGBT podcast, and decided not to go with it.
And you know what? If they did, they'd probably still be around. Because you know what?
We're
still here.
We're still here, bitch.
You people are not. Go ahead.
Yes.
Carrion.
Go ahead.
That's in here, baby.
So the town of Nipton, California was bought by the American Green Incorporated, a company, the whole town. So it was 25 acres, a bunch of buildings. They bought it for like $5 million. And they're going to make it into like Pot Town, USA.
Yeah.
I guess they're known for like having their own like natural water aquifers. They're going to make some marijuana water.
Mm.
And then they're going to have people come and hang out in their sauna and spas and get high and get doped up.
And completely off the grid. Mm. So that's they're going to be ecologically friendly.
Aww. Oh, that's real sweet.
Yeah, so you'd be smoking all that sweet ganja.
Mama.
I guess they're growing it outside. They're not using the UV lights or anything like that.
That's real cool, because I feel like once it's nationally legalized, it's going to be the next gold mine, because like my friend who lives in Colorado, she said that there's so many people moving in and they're just building so many new estates because
people want to smoke pot.
People want to just relax and chill and get away from this crazy world. And
I guess Colorado has a surplus of money. They're dumping a lot of money into the school system there, so there's going to be good education.
Yes.
Illinois is, I guess, like thinking about it. They recently decriminalized it in the state, but will they make it legal? Who knows? In Pennsylvania, they're thinking about making it legal, and or they might do medical or something. My friend wants to open a dispensary, but she's just like,
yes,
it's $2 million just to buy one. She's like, do you have $2 million, Mark? And I'm like, I don't, but I could ask around.
A GoFundMe page.
Speaking of GoFundMe, so the other thing that went viral from the Maxine Waters was a guy who did a gospel remix of it. He decided, like, took his thing and did a gospel thing from it. And so he went on The View. Maxine Waters was on The View, and she was talking to all the girls. And I love it because she's, you know, she is unapologetic. She does not like Trump. And there's some Trump supporters on that panel, and they're kind of like, but what about? And she just shuts them down every single time. And then they bring the guy out who sang the thing, and she was like, she was laughing, hold her hands up, and she's like, praise the Lord.
he's made money on this Kickstarter.
Well, he did an Indiegogo, so he wants to raise $50,000 to record an album. And it's going to be his first album. And so far, he was on The View, national television, right?
Yeah.
So he put the Kickstarter up like right after, or the Indiegogo right afterwards. And so the time we're taping this on Sunday evening, so it's really only been a couple days, but he's raised over $1,000.
Whoa.
Oh, shit.
I know.
I thought it would be a lot more.
I know. You would think that going on The View, it's $1,900 raised by 51 backers. So that's 4% of his $50,000.
Well, to be honest, it's like a cool video, but I don't feel any reason to like donate to like, oh my God, he's going to do a gospel album. Like, I feel like that's just a very mediocre fund to donate to.
Yeah, you should donate to their Cooking with Drag Queens Kickstarter.
Coming up soon, my God. So just, are we doing a weeks countdown?
Away. They need groceries.
We're doing a countdown.
Yeah. We do need groceries. Gee, that's one of our biggest bills, is just buying the food for it.
Mm. Well, and the hard drives and the video cameras and the lights editing, and the editing and the camera
somebody
crew
on Facebook
and everything.
Or somebody was like, why do we have to pay for the food if they're going to eat it anyway?
Oh, my God.
And they're like, you don't understand, we have to make the food like four times before we actually make it on camera.
Yeah, so you're not going, oh, fuck, I ran out of time.
Yeah.
Mm. Get it? Yeah. And,
you know. Reclaiming it?
I have to reclaim it. Yeah. Mm. No, Cooking with Drag Queens, we're starting the Kickstarter for season 3. We're hoping to actually do it as a cooking challenge.
Oh, my God.
So we're going to pit, if we reach the amount and are able to go into the bonus round, the extension goals, we're going to turn it into a cooking competition.
So we're going to invite some of the girls that have been in the past to come back and
battle.
Yes, that's so
stir
smart.
Fry
battle for the breadstick.
We're actually going to
the breadstick.
Stir fry for their lives.
Ooh.
So we're going to give them like 2 walks. And the queen who loses gets shot dead.
You're going to start a grease fire in this apartment.
We might not film it here. We're
it actually needs to be filmed in an actual studio, because it would need space, you know.
Okay. So,
and we're actually like looking to like bring Food Network personalities and like make it a big production. So, yes. But that's That's a if and maybe.
Those are dreams.
Yes, it's a dream.
That's good.
But every dream starts somewhere.
But a lot of people are asking what happened to all those videos that we shot backstage with Alaska Thunderfuck and Bob the Drag Queen and Lady Red Couture and Willem Belli talking about why DMV or DWV split up.
Mm-hmm. I need that tea.
And yeah, lots of that interesting tea. Very hot tea. Very exclusives. Coco Peru.
Oh.
A really fascinating and hilarious talks backstage, and those are all being made exclusive to donors of the Cooking with Drag Queens videos campaign first, and then eventually be available on YouTube.
Yeah. Please donate to get that tea.
It's you. All you need to do is $3, girl.
Dang.
$3 is all you need.
Girl, comma.
Yeah.
Girl,
comma.
Girl, comma. $3 is all you need.
Poor Faust has been working all day.
I've been in the bakery all day long, and I'm covered in
flour
and apples and blueberries and all kinds of fruits. So, Caitlyn Jenner. Let's talk about Caitlyn Jenner.
Do we have to?
She's still irrelevant.
She's so dumb.
So let's dish.
She doesn't even know what hat she's wearing these days.
So
right?
So this is what happened. Caitlyn Jenner was like, I don't like Donald Trump anymore now that he wants to get rid of transgender people in the military. And I guess allegedly to TMZ, which is a gossip website, they're saying that the Jenner family has disavowed themselves of Caitlyn Jenner.
Because she's all about Caitlyn.
Yes,
this
thinks it's selfish. And so Caitlyn Jenner, after saying that she's over Trump, was caught driving around in one of her sports cars with a Make America Great Again hat. And when called out on it, says that, I didn't even realize what hat I was wearing. I just put something on that was in the back seat.
Well, there you go.
It was in the back seat. It was ready to go, girl.
Yeah,
it matched her car.
It did match a nice straight. It looks. It's a cute photo of her, you know.
It's a nice car. I want boot. That car.
I will boot the look. No toot.
No toots for that.
I not just, you know, Caitlyn Jenner is a blessing on how not to be. And I think part of it is like, you know, we tend to idolize celebrities when they come out as LGBT. And Caitlyn Jenner came out as LGBT and we hated her even more. You know?
Yes.
And so in some ways it's very healthy. It's about the community looking inwards and to our own selves as our liberation and not relying on the strength and power of others.
Mm.
You got to reclaim your time, baby.
Yes. I love that theme. Please reclaim that time.
Your power.
Reclaim your hats. Reclaim your viral GoFundMes. Your opportunity to be on The View, because that would have been cute. Reclaim your time.
You should have been on The View.
That would have been cute.
I'm mad that they didn't invite you, but you at least get
drag
to be on Feast of Fun.
Drag is
scary. They're like, why are they making an impression of me? Is there something wrong with me? Is it like, no, there's nothing wrong with
but
you.
But you're here with us.
Yeah.
And that counts for something.
This is something. I love this.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm glad to have you. I'm glad to meet you like this. You think you're a remarkable young man.
Thank you.
I think the future is very, very bright, and I hope you come back sometime.
It's going to be beautiful.
You have to wear shades.
Okay, I will.
And yeah, especially
when you look at the sun, otherwise you'll go blind.
We're driving to Carbondale, Illinois.
We're going south, all points south to see the solar eclipse. We want to see 100%. I don't know if we're going to end up in Carbondale. They say it's going to be a clusterfuck of traffic and stuff, so who knows what's going to happen, and who knows if the weather's going to cooperate. So we're going to play it by ear to some degree.
But we're trying to go south to St. Louis on Sunday the
21st
of August.
Anybody in St. Louis want to put us up in their place? We'll be happy,
especially if you have a nice jacuzzi.
Yes, and you're not a serial killer.
Mm.
Well, if you're a serial killer, it's okay, as long as we're not your type.
If you're Scandinavian, plus.
Yes.
Yes, baby.
Plus.
Plus.
I'm a people. Yes. You're good at snapping that, Fang.
Thank you. Girl, comma.
This is me at the buffet. This is me on vacation. This is me getting AIDS. That's actually Bianca Del Rio. Bianca Del Rio is making fun of Lady Bunny's collection of CDs.
On stage. She's just like, I thought you had a photo album here. I was looking through there. It was like pictures.
This is me on vacation. This is me at the buffet. This is me getting AIDS. And so me and my friends, we use that phrase. But actually, it's
Bianca. Not you and your friends. You sit around the
house. Matt Jackson and I talk about it. Matt Jackson and I talk about it. I have other friends other than my husband. You're like, you and your friends.
If I was to say, he just walks down the hallway saying it. This is what I'm saying. So like these friends, like he may be saying it to people, but he also just says it to himself.
3 a.m.
The music today is just not as good as it used to be and stuff. I remember Jennifer Hudson was she's got the Hollywood Candles, Jennifer Holiday.
Maybe you should do an animated series. That's a really good voice.
Yeah, you basically,
it's Lady Bunny.
You know, when you talk to the Lady Bunny hours and hours on hours and on end, it kind of rubs off on you. You know, and vivacious. I would say, like, I talk to more I talk to Vivacious more than any other person except my husband, which is a very strange
I love that
reality.
I just recently got obsessed with the way that she walks down a runway, like that clack, 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 the very New York ball.
The Vivacious you're talking? Yeah. So did you see the video of Vivacious with the little kid?
I did. Lactatia. Lactatia's so cute.
And that was in Elle magazine, right?
Was it Elle?
I think so.
It was Elle. Yeah. I think you are right.
And Vivacious, she was telling me about the thing, and I was just like, I was like, I'm not sure if this actually did happen or not. And then I actually saw it, and I was like, oh my God, this is really, really beautiful.
That has almost 17 million views.
Oh, it's girl, really sweet.
Girl, aww. It's so beautiful seeing you pass the torch to the children. I know. You keep waiting for a punchline. I'm like,
there's like, it would be beautiful. No, I should not take those improv classes like you did. So he doesn't feel like the need to finish
the
scene.
Well, you know what? Okay. The character work is there, and that's what I pulled from improv. Definitely just mastering the character work.
Just imitate your friends.
Imitate your friends. Whatever they do, just do what they do in a scene.
Yeah, crank it up a little bit. I want to remind folks we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com. Your contribution to this show is what makes this show happen. We also have fantastic t-shirts for sale at our store, feastoffun.com/store. We are changing the store around coming up soon, so some things may not be available next month. So if you'd like a t-shirt, get it now.
If you want to get a t-shirt, go to the store. Feastoffun.com/store. Where else do you think it would be? Sorry, I'm talking like that.
Choked up. People too, maybe you just want to make a one-time donation. You can do that at feastoffun.com/donate because those really help pay the bills.
You can visit Cherry Chan on the social media, but you already know where she is because her video went viral.
What? Nice.
You're on Instagram land.
Instagram at Auntie Cherry Chan with a Y, AUNTY Cherry Chan. Mm-hmm. I'm on the Twitter, same handle. Mm-hmm. Facebook, there is a page, but I should probably manage a little bit better.
I have to say, I also like the other Cherry Chan that's on Facebook, the Asian woman in Hong Kong, who has all these photos of herself with all this over-the-top 4th of July Americana.
Oh my God.
Have you seen it?
I need to find her because... Oh yeah,
just search your name. My sister. On Facebook, she's the one that comes up and you're
the
like...
The other Cherry Chan.
She looks like a lot of fun. A lot of selfies and a lot of like Americana stuff.
Kissed a drag queen and I liked it. Her name was Cherry Chan.
Yay! Yay!
Cherry Chan, everybody! Woo. Thanks for listening!
Bye bye!
Bye bye!